Hey y'all, I'm Shelby, a marketer, creative, wordsmith, and world-class talker.
And I'm Erica, a project manager, creative, interior designer, and world-class hype woman. And we are the hosts of the All Things Melanin podcast.
This is a safe space for open, honest, and transparent conversations of the norm.
We share our journey of navigating all aspects of life, and we ain't holding back. Now let's get into this week's episode.
Erica.
Hey, girl. Hey.
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? How's your spirit today?
I am better than last week. We're going to go with that. My spirit was really heavy last week, but this week, a new day. I'm okay. Like when people ask me, like, how are you doing today? I'm just like, I'm okay. Nothing bad, but nothing just, you know, wonderful to say today, but I'm okay. And that's sometimes that's okay to say, you know?
Yeah.
What about you?
I agree. I think being okay is fine. And I think being okay is normal. And I think we need to normalize just being okay, because we're not always positive Patty and we're not always necessarily negative Nancy. Sometimes we're just in between. And I think that's a good place to be sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
I'm good. I feel like I am finding a pretty good groove at work. I feel like work has just been super busy. I feel like my personal life has been super busy and is speeding up, and I'm planning and plotting on a lot of things. So yeah, just trying to find a rhythm. But overall, you know, I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm all of the things, but I'm in a good spot. So I can't complain, and my mom always say it don't do no good anyway.
Right. Amen to your mama.
Because she be knowing. Okay, friends. So let's get into our question of the day. The question of the day is a little bit different today. So for those of you who don't know, obviously Eric and I are real friends, but we have been friends for almost a decade. First of all, whoa, insert dramatic clap. And it's so interesting. Out of all of my friends, I've probably known Erica the least amount of time in the grand scheme of things, but I feel like I've known Erica like all my life. Like that's how good of a friend like we are. But like I said, we've been friends for almost a decade. And we've been friends long enough to really know each other, because we have been through a couple of seasons. Good, bad, happy, sad, you name it, and everything in between. So I thought that it would be cool to give everyone a glimpse into our friendship and share something that we've learned or taken away from the other that has positively impacted our lives. I think that a lot of times as human beings, we wait to give people their flowers when they pass away, but we are going to do it today. And I'm not letting Erica go first. I'm going first. Here we go. So let's see. I will try to keep this short, but y'all know that is not my thing. But I have learned a lot from Erica. I feel like one, and I'm not just going to give you one, I'm going to give you like two, maybe three. Let's see how the spirit moves me. One thing that I've really learned from Erica is really good about setting boundaries. As a recovering people pleaser, I have struggled with that. I have struggled with boundaries. I have struggled with saying no. I have struggled with bending just to make people happy. But one thing about my girl Erica is she set boundaries, but she does it in such a loving and kind way that you're just kind of like, oh, okay, like she can't do it, or she's not in the space to do it, or she doesn't want to do it. Because Erica's one of those people that she always shows up for everybody. She always goes above and beyond. She always is just an amazing human being. So watching her enforce and set boundaries has really taught me how to enforce and set boundaries. And for the most part, people are cool with it. But I always say, boundaries don't upset people who love you. Boundaries upset people who take advantage of you. So Erica has taught me how to set boundaries. Another thing that I really love about Erica is how creative she is. Erica is probably one of the most creative people that I know. And although I'm not creative like her, and I'm creative in a different way, Erica has really shown me and taught me and walk the walk in really just betting on yourself and going after your dreams and sharing your gift with the world. because Erica has done that. She continues to do that. And I'm like, who is this person? Who is this human being? Like, I know this is my friend, but just to see her better herself and to pick herself up and to better herself and to put her gift out in the world, it has really inspired me. And the other thing, the last thing that I'm going to share, something that Erica has taught me, is so I think we've told this story before, but Erica and I, being friends a decade, it's so interesting. We both revealed later on in our friendship, maybe like a year or two down the line, that we both were praying for our friendships. And in praying for our friendships, I was like, I, want a friend that I can do life with, that I can travel with, that's just gonna be an all-around good human being. And I realized like a year or two later that it was Erica and we had this conversation. And so one thing that I've learned from Erica, in addition to my friends, is just how beautiful friendship is, how important friendship is, and just how impactful it can be. Because Erica has been, from the day that I met Erica back in circa 2015-ish, she has been nothing but kind. She has been nothing but amazing. But as we become friends, as we become sisters, as we've grown our sisterhood, she has shown me just how beautiful friendship is, how anointed friendship can be, and how amazing it is just to have somebody like her in my life. So I would just like to say that's what I have learned from Erica.
Girl, you're gonna make me cry. But I ain't gonna do it. But that was so sweet. I appreciate everything that you've said. So my turn. Okay. So actually, so when we first met, okay, so to Shelby's point about us both individually praying for our friends and what type of friends we wanted, me and Shelby met at work. A lot of you guys know that. Some of you may not, but we did, and I'm more so introverted and quiet around people. And Shelby just came right to my cubicle, hey girl, and like basically made me talk to her. Hey girl. So but ever since then we had been like joined at the hip. Like people would be like, you know, would they see me, they're like, where's Shelby? If they see Shelby, where's Erica? Like they're just used to all of us always being together at work. And even outside of that, we both moved on and individually in our careers, and we're still probably tighter than ever since then. I would describe our friendship, we're like the same, but then we're opposites. Like there's like we just mesh really, really well. And even for us to have this platform, she's the only friend that I could do this with. I love all my friends, but she's literally the only one that I can do this podcast with. She's such a creative as well. Her creative ideas are insane. When I mean insane, it's like she just overflows with ideas in such a great way. Like it's truly her gift, especially in social media and marketing. I'm like, girl, you handle our social media because I can't keep up. Like she told me about Threads. I was like, girl, what is that? So, but she got it. She holds that down. I always tell you, Shelby, that you are like a light to everybody that you meet in people's lives. She's just so bubbly most of the time and positive most of the time. One of the things you've always told me, well, I think it's from what your mom has always told you, but she's always like, don't worry about what you can do. Only worry about what you can do, if I said that correctly. But that has always stuck with me because I can easily get so stressed about situations. And I'll be like, Shelby, I'm stressed. My job is getting on my nerves. Like, just anything. She'd be like, don't worry about what you can't do. And I'm like, you know what? That is, you're right. Something so simple like that. Shelby's always really positive. One of the special things about her is she really pours into her friends, like as if we are her sisters, which basically we are. But she's always pouring into us in a way that, like, again, is another one of her gifts. Like, for instance, she'll text me on a random day. She may not have no idea what's going on that day, but it's exactly what I needed to hear in that day. And I just love that. And that is something that I will always appreciate because most of the times in this world, people thinking about themselves, they're not thinking about nobody else. But you can count on Shelby to be like, hey, girl, I just want to tell you, I love you. I hope you have a great week. And I will forever appreciate that. She's also somebody you can turn up with in the club, but you can also go to church and praise the Lord. So there's balance. There's balance. So There's so much I can really say about our friendship and Shelby, of course, but I do want to tell you, friend, I'm really, really proud of you because life has been life and over these past decades or 10, almost 10 years that we've been friends. We both have been through craziness, especially when we first met. I met you when I was going through the worst time of my life, and you didn't know it at that time. But you were the person that I needed because at that time we were out in these streets doing things, living life, and now we have all these memories to look back on. But I will say I am proud of you for always bouncing back from what life be throwing at you. And you know, always have your back. I always tell you that. Always. And I always pray that like your deepest desires, accomplishments, things you don't speak to me about, things that you do speak to me about, I hope that they come to pass in God's timing. You totally deserve it. And I cannot wait to see those things come into fruition. And I love you, friend. That's all I got to say. I could keep going if you want me to, but.
First of all, I could fucking cry. I'm such a cry baby. If you don't know that about me, baby, I will cry. I will cry in a second. But thank you so much for saying all those kind of nice things. And I wrote that, but I wrote that question of the day. Obviously, Erica and I, like we said, we're pretty much sisters and family at this point, and we pretty much tell each other how we feel and how much we mean to each other. But I just wanted to share that like glimpse into our friendship so that people know just how valuable and beautiful sisterhood truly can be when you have the right people in your life. Like, I wish sisterhood, brotherhood, genuine friendshiphood, you know, whatever hood on everybody, because I was telling somebody this the other day, I was like, friendship and sisterhood has carried me when I couldn't carry myself. And I think a lot of times we think of a partner, you know, supporting us, and they do, but it's something so beautiful and just magical about friendship that will literally carry you in whatever season you have it, you are in your life. And I really just pray that and hope that on everybody.
Yes. So continuing on with beautiful friendships or relationships. Let's get into our first segment of the show, which is dating and relationships. So today's topic is, should you keep your romantic relationship off of social media? Yes or no? And when you get into your next relationship, how much do you think that you will actually share online?
I feel like this is such a good but interesting question, and I think that it differs on the person. But like, do I think that you should keep your relationship on or off social media? I think that just depends on the person. Am I going to keep my relationship off of social media? I'm not going to say that I would. Excuse me. I'm not going to say that I'm going to completely keep it off social media, but I just think it depends on like where we are. Like, if we're in the talking space, no. If we're just freshly dating, no. Baby, if we in it to win it, possibly. If I have a ring on my finger, absolutely. Because I need everybody to know. I waited so long for this. I need the world to know. I need to broadcast it. I don't know. I think people who do it, I think it's fine, but I think, I don't know. Like, I think going forward, I would overall keep my relationship off of social media because I just don't want to give anything or anyone the opportunity to influence it or to get in my head about it. Now, the caveat to that is if somebody's going to do something, it doesn't matter if they're on social media or not, they're going to do it. So, like, I don't think about those type of things because at the end of the day, if a person's going to be faithful to me, if a person's going to be loyal to me, they're going to do it whether or not I put them on social media. I think for me, I just, after dating and having relationships, I just want to be a little bit more private going forward with my relationship. I want to savor the relationship. I want to enjoy the relationship. And I just want to make sure that it's what I'm supposed to be doing and it's who I'm supposed to be with. I'm not in the business personally of keeping up with the Joneses. And I'm not in the business of keeping up appearances. I'm not very concerned about what my life looks like. I'm really more concerned about it, what it actually feels like to me and how it actually is. I think for me, my mom jokes me all the time. She's like, girl, when you in love, baby, you are in love. Like, whoo, baby, you a little, whoo. We joke about, she jokes about it all the time because I'm such a lover girl, like when I'm in love. But I think that it's completely fine to keep to put your relationship on social media. I think for me that I just have to have boundaries about it. I need to be 100% sure about the relationship and be on the same page and just be really confident and comfortable in what we are and who we are and where we're going. I think that I would share my relationship on social media, but I don't think that I would as I don't feel like I would go all out as to share every little detail that we're doing or where we at or what he's doing and what he's getting me and what I'm doing for him. That's just not really my personality. I also just don't have time to do it. But I am such a lover girl that when I do meet my person, oh y'all gonna know. But is it gonna be like broadcast all over everything like Real Housewives? Absolutely not. That's not my style. I don't have time for it. But I wouldn't mind sharing. It just kind of depends on the relationship and the person. And then a lot of times people are just personal these days, and they keep their relationships off of social media. I know a lot of people that do it for certain reasons. Some people they're just not into social media. Some people they dipping and dodging, if you know what I mean. But I think for me, I wouldn't be opposed to it. We just got to be locked in. What about you, friend? What do you think?
I have a few thoughts on this. So, like, way back in the day, like, I'm so old, but way back in the day before content creators and all that was really a thing, I used to post some stuff with me and the person I was in a relationship with because we had been in a relationship for a while at that point. So, I do agree with what you said. Like, if we locked in, then yeah, I would post something here and there. But it's not my personality either to post my entire life. Like, I will post if it's my birthday, or I'll post if me and my friends are out, or if I'm out of town, or something like that. But it's literally not my everyday personal business life. So if it's somebody that I'm praying that the next person is my husband, but I'm still not posting him until we marry. So that's I'm just gonna pop up married. So unless you actually are my friend or in real life or a family member, and you actually know what's going on in my life, you're not even gonna know. I'm just gonna pop up with a whole ring, a whole belly bu baby bump. because honestly, some relationships that I see online from content creators, it just doesn't come across as authentic to me because there will be some moments where I'm like, did y'all really have to set up the camera at this moment to show that intimate moment between you and your man? Because even recently, like for example, there was a post with Victoria Monet, and I love her and her fine husband. They are beautiful, the beautiful couple. But there was a post that she kind of set up her camera in the bathroom, and I guess she was just like catering to him by like rubbing him down with lotion or something like that. And I was just going through the comments, and people were like, why do we need to see this? Why are you posting this on social media? Like, this is an intimate moment with you and your man. Like, why are we seeing this? And I mean, I love her, but I agree with that. Like, I can't see myself lotioning my man down and letting everybody see that. No, my mama followed me, my pastor, like everything. Like, no. So I'm just a private person in that manner too. And then when people post and post and post and post their relationship, people start to idolize that relationship that they see online. So they actually have no idea what that person could actually be putting up with behind the scenes in that relationship. But in some cases, I do know people in real life and behind the scenes, I do know what be going on. And it's a different story, but I'm going to mind my business. So I just hope that also my man or future husband don't be doing too much on social media either, because I don't want to be posted all the time what I'm doing, what I'm eating, what I said, like pranking me, doing all that stuff. No, just we don't got to do all that. Like, I just want a calm, cool, behind the scenes, we chilling relationship. because social media obviously can create like this false reality of what relationships should be. And then people think, well, if you ain't doing this, then we don't need to be together. And it's really like, what works for you. So, that's another thing I would say. But for me, like I said, unless you know me in real life, you probably ain't gonna see anything on social media till I've already had the baby, or we already married, or we already bought the house. Like, what? So yeah, that's what I would say. So I guess yes and no. I'm gonna post, but not everything. I hope after we marry. There we go. Okay. So let's keep it moving to our next segment of the day, which is the journey. So we're going to discuss either topics about our brand, on how that is building our brand, or something in our corporate career. So today we're going to discuss getting back to the basics. So our theme for all things melanin this year is called getting back to the basics. So Shelby, what does this mean for us, and what can everyone expect from us going forward?
Yeah, I'm so excited about us getting back to the basics. So I guess just to set it up a little bit before we answer the question. So Erica and I have content meetings every quarter, and we have like a yearly meeting every year. And in our yearly recap meeting slash planning meeting for the year, we really just essentially do a brain dump. We do a brain dump of everything that we think went well. We do a brain dump of areas of opportunity, and we just kind of go through and share ideas on what we want to do and how we want to do it. And then we just kind of, piggyback off of each other and talk it through. One thing that I love about Erica and I is when we do these brain dumps is that no idea is a stupid idea. Like, we literally listen to each other, and from talking and discussing, multiple ideas always come forward. And I think that's important because you have to have a safe space to dream, to have ideas, and to plan. Like, this is just a great time just to let it all flow. And if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. Because Erica will tell me in a second, girl, that's great, but no, that's not in the budget. We can't do it. That's a lie. Because I am very unrealistic sometimes. But anyway, so that's the first thing. The second thing is just to kind of give you an overview. So Erica and I both are creative individuals. And Erica is amazing at design. Anything that needs to be designed is up Erica's alley. Baby, if I designed it, it would look like a 5-year-old did it. So y'all better shout out to Erica that all of these visuals look amazing. And so we were talking one day, and we were basically like, okay, like, there is a lot of things out there that talk and celebrate and highlight and recognize people that are big and famous, as they should, because those people should be recognized. But we wanted to create a platform where people could be recognized that are building, that are currently building, doing the work, and are maybe just starting out mid-sized, and even some people that are highly recognized. And we wanted to be a community that had resources, that related to where we are in life as multifaceted Black women. We really essentially just wanted something that was kind of a reflection of where we are and where we're going, and that was just more relatable, authentic, and down to earth. And honestly, overall, I think that we have stuck to that. But when we had our yearly meeting at the end of the year last year, one of the things, and this is how God works and why God, Eric and I are so aligned as business partners, we wrote down the same thing, which is getting back to the basics. And so essentially what we wanted to do is we wanted to get back to doing things that we originally said. So getting back to blogging, getting back to sharing helpful resources, getting back to building a community that has resources and content that we can relate to, that's authentic to us, but that's gonna help somebody else. What else, friend? I feel like there's more than I'm leaving out, but that's all I can think of right now.
Well, actually, you nailed it on the head with some of the points that I had written down too. But one of the things that me and you always talk to our listeners or followers about is remembering your why. So that's basically what we're saying when we say get back to the basics. Like, what was that initial meeting when we had year one? Like, okay, we're going to build this brand. Why are we building it? What is the purpose of it? Who do we want to reach? So, always going back to that, because honestly, when you're building a brand or business, you could veer off into other lanes because you may see what other people are doing, or you just think that what you're doing isn't working. So, you're trying to do something else. But really, that's just creates a bunch of chaos sometimes. And really, for us to sit down in 2024, after in 2017, we were able to say, you know what, this had been working for us. So let's get back to that and remembering why are we doing this. So everything that Shelby named about the resources, providing knowledge, recognizing other creatives, also putting out affirmations and motivations, because it is not easy out here in these try to build your brand streets. It is not simple. So when we have a brand that really pours into who's following us, who may come across our posts and just sees a simple affirmation that they could say to themselves, screenshot it, look at it from day to day, we are, that is part of our why. Another thing too is back to what Shelby said about our quarterly meetings that we have. We serious about the meetings and we serious about planning because both of us are planners. Both of us, if we don't write it down, it don't exist type people. And I think we work so well together with that. So with that being said, we always schedule out, our content planning, but that really helps us because really, it's not overcomplicating things. And I think getting back to the basics is exactly that. We're not overcomplicating. We're working smarter, not harder. So it's like, less is more. So I would encourage anybody who has been building their brand and they feel kind of maybe stuck or like, well, what am I missing? What's not working? Go back to your why, go back to your initial goals and get back to your basics, whatever that means for you and your business or brand. All right, so let's keep it moving to our mentor moment. So this is when Shelby and I will read a listener's letter, and then we're going to give each of our advice on it. So the letter reads, "Hi, Shelby and Erica. I would love your advice on something. So I've been on my job for 4 years. Overall, I really like my job and I like what I do. Recently, my job posted a new job opening that was senior to my position. I went through the job description and I really want to shoot my shot and apply for the job. Do you think I should take a leap of faith and apply? And if so, any encouragement or advice on how to successfully shoot my career shot at work?"
You want to go first, friend?
Sure. I'm kind of shy when it comes to shooting shots, but I will say yes, shoot your shot at the position because I remember reading something that said, like, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So that's first off. And then just putting yourself out there could be a little scary, not knowing the outcome. But my advice would be not to worry about the outcome. Just go for it because you don't want to regret not going for it. You never know what could happen. My other piece of advice would be to make sure you're prepared. Have like your ducks in a row. Don't assume that the people you're going to be interviewing with or talking to, don't assume that they already know what you've done in your current position over the years. Make sure you have your accolades and your accomplishments and your improvements all in a row so that you're able to speak to that when they're talking with you, because nine times out of 10, these higher ups don't know what you be doing on a day-to-day basis. They don't know. So make sure you have something to highlight. Also, what a tidbit I would have is offer up, like if this comes up, offer up what kind of initiatives you have or ideas that you have to bring to the table or bring to the position. If the conversation goes that far, because that always looks like, okay, she came prepared or he came prepared. He, has already has some ideas. He'd be great for this position. So think about those initiatives that you could take to the role. And also, I would say make sure that you have an actual career like roadmap. So don't just try to shoot your shot at a position that you have no idea like what you want to do with it or what you're trying to achieve to be in that position. So make sure you actually have that career roadmap to be able to discuss with the people. Because if that role doesn't fit, then you don't want to go for that if it doesn't match what your roadmap is, if that makes sense. So all in all, yes, I would say shoot your shot. What would you say, Shelby?
I think that's amazing, friend. I think that I'm just gonna add like two small tidbits to what you said because everything you said was amazing and what I would have said. I would say in addition to that is make sure that you in addition to having your roadmap, make sure that you really go through that job description and you dissect it. A lot of times, obviously, a job description is just a generalized summary of what they would like, but we all know that a lot of times we end up doing a lot more than that's in that job description. But if you can go through that job description and dissect it, I would say try to see how you can see yourself fitting in there. And if you've already done those things, you can take that into the interview with you. So you're already triple prepared because you've already been doing the work more than likely. The second thing that I would say is talk to your manager or your leadership about it because a lot of times, They don't even know that that's something that you want. Like I said, it's like my mom and them always say, and the old folks always say, closed mouths don't get fed. So if your manager or your leadership doesn't even know that you are passionate about that position, that you would like to move up, or that you would want a promotion or want to do something different, I would say definitely have that conversation with them, and maybe they can provide some insight. Because if we're being honest, it is cheaper to hire an internal employee than it is to hire an external employee and to train that person. So if you already have the skills and the goals, the skills and the willpower and the want to do that, like I said, in addition to everything Erica said, make sure that you read that job description and relate it to what you're doing or what you could do. And then, like Erica said, like what initiatives, would you do? How would you fit into that role? But also, when you shoot your shot, if you have the opportunity, like ask your manager questions or ask whomever questions. I think a lot of times we assume that we want things, but just to make sure, like get in there if you can and ask questions. Ask, like, what is the person who, for instance, like you can ask, like, what is expected of this person in the first 90 days? How are you going to measure success? How am I going to be supported? What training is available? Like, get in there and ask questions too, because you want to make sure that it's a good fit for you. Because sometimes we think we want something until we get it. So just to make sure that you're on the same page, ask them questions too. But that's what I would add to what Erica said.
Yes, I love that too. So good luck to shooting your shot. We hope you have success with it. So if you have a question out there that you want us to answer, send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at allthingsmelanin__. So today we're going to leave you with words of encouragement.
So, words of encouragement come from Zechariah 4 and 10. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work. I love this Bible verse, and I'm pretty sure that we have read this before on this podcast, but I had to run it back. I like this Bible verse because, so in full transparency, a lot of my devotional work lately has been on being in my waiting season. And a lot of times when you're waiting season, y'all, I promise it's gonna make sense. Just rock with me. A lot of times in our waiting season, we're always wondering, why isn't it my time? Why haven't I met the man? Why haven't I got the promotion? Why haven't I accomplished these a million one dreams that I have? But you see, every single person, whether it's on social media, whether it's at work, whether it's a family member, wherever, you see them accomplishing their dreams, and it can be so discouraging. But my devotional reminded me that in my waiting season, that it is necessary to get where I'm going. And when I think about being in my waiting season, because that's what I'm in currently for a lot of things, it reminds me that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I think that's important to note, because a lot of times, whatever it is, whether it's being married, being a CEO or a vice president of a company, having a six-figure business, whatever your it is, like, we always want to go from a 0 to 100 real quick. Like, we want to get there, but we forget that in order to be big time, we got to start small. We have to start somewhere. And I think that sometimes, in whatever season we're in, we get discouraged in the beginning. We get discouraged with small beginnings. But anybody that is extremely successful, that you admire, that you love, that you would go to war for, and you don't even know them, they all started small. If you go back and you read their story, you will see that they started super small. For instance, like Kevin Hart, he was playing, hometown comedy clubs for the longest. He grinded for a long time before he became the Kevin Hart that we know now. I love Kadeem and DeVal Ellis. Before they became big time, before he was on Sisters, he was shooting these mini vlogs and videos from his phone, from his Brooklyn apartment. It takes a person an average of 10 years to be an overnight celebrity. And so I say all that to say that I get it. You want to be big time. You want to go from 0 to 100. You want it all now. But a lot of what you need to be successful when you are big time, or when you're making all the money, or when you have whatever it is, a lot of that is built in small beginnings. I don't want us to discount the small beginnings, because I think that's one of the most important time periods in our life, because the small beginnings are the foundation. If you don't have a strong foundation for what you're doing or where you're going, you will crack, you will fall, and you will be at square one. So instead of thinking as small beginnings as just the waiting period and being upset and trying to rush it, think of it as laying the foundation for your dream life. And in order to lay the foundation for your dream life, ask yourself, what do I need to do to have a strong foundation, so when I do pop off, it's up? And whatever the answer to that question is, do everything in your power to do it and set the foundation so your small beginnings won't be in vain. What do you think, friend?
I love that, friend. We be on the same page, because I literally wrote setting the foundation. Because when you said building, that's exactly what I have to remind myself of when, it says small beginnings. To me, that's like planting the seed. So just setting that foundation. And I feel like a lot of this has to do, well, for me, I feel like everybody waiting on something. I know me, I feel like I'm waiting on everything. Okay. Waiting for my hair to be down my back, like just waiting for literally everything. So, one thing I wanted to add to what you said is, for me, my struggle is the patience part, but actually checking my attitude. I feel like to check my attitude, or to check where my heart posture is, would be to look for those small wins or the small beginnings, because honestly, those small beginnings create a testimony. Because if we think about it, a lot of these trials, tribulations, tests, perseverance that we go through is not just about us. It's about to share that story and to share God's glory with other people. So when we just sitting around thinking about ourselves, why this ain't happening for me? Why? What happened with me? Like, we're getting selfish, and we just got to check our heart space. And I know for me, I will throw a whole adult fit temper tantrum, and God be like, girl, relax. I'm still not gonna give it to you, because I don't want anything. I'm not gonna give it to you yet. I don't want anything that I'm not ready for. I don't want anything rushed. I don't want anything too quick and too fast, because if it's too quick and too fast, it's gonna just dissolve just as quickly. So I'd rather wait on God. And during those times of building, just taking the time to kind of smell the roses, as they would say. So yeah, if you think about it like that, God wants the glory at the end of the day. So this ain't all about us. This is about what God wants to do in our lives. So that's all I would add to that.
First of all, that was beautiful and just a great way to take us on out the podcast. So I'm gonna pray. Close your eyes. Here we go. Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how. First and foremost, I have to ask you for anything but to thank you for everything. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for making a way out of no way. Lord Jesus, we don't know the desires or the needs or the wants of anybody listening to this podcast, but we know that you do. We pray that you will cover them. We pray that you will keep them. We pray that you will strengthen them. And we pray that you will make a way out of no way. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will bless them in their relationships, bless them in their journey, whether career or business, and just bless them on their faith journey. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will provide clarity, wisdom, and discernment, Lord Jesus, and whether they're in a small beginning or a big beginning, that they will lay the foundation to be successful and to live out the purpose and the passion that you have ordained. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.